Welcome to the Breakout CEO Podcast, the show where ambitious founders and scaling CEOs share how they put insight into action and spark pivotal moments, bold moves, and powerful mindset shifts. From building technology and growing teams to navigating pressure and pushing through plateaus, this is where real leaders talk about what it takes to level up in both business growth and leadership skills. I'm Jeff Holman, attorney and founder of Intellectual Strategies. I work behind the scenes with scaling CEOs and get a front row seat to the decisions that drive breakout success. On this show, you'll hear directly from exceptional CEOs about their breakout moments so you can learn how they navigated the risks and opportunities while scaling a business from startup to success. Let's get started. Welcome back, everybody. This is Jeff Holman, host of the Breakout CEO Podcast. I'm really excited to be here with you today. I've got a great guest. We were chatting beforehand about some of the stuff he's doing. We're going to talk today probably with Landon. We're going to talk today about some of the stuff Landon Glenn has been working on. Probably instead of focusing on one breakout moment, he's going to share with us how the sequence of breakout moments adds up to the culmination. So I'm super excited to talk to him in more detail about that and share that with you today. Landon, thanks for coming on the show. So glad to have you here.
Great to be here. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, it's great to have you. This is a new endeavor for me, and this is maybe my own little startup world, right? Going through the ups and downs of creating something small. You're creating something pretty darn big. Give us just a little taste of what it is you're creating.
Yes, Happy Chew is basically an app inside of an app. So we're part of your bank. So essentially, we partner with the banks, we partner with the backend cores, we wrap the full functionality of everything your bank can do, and then we extend it through a platform that connects to anything privately and securely. So we have APIs, we use tokenization. So think of it as a way to supercharge your bank or your credit union and start to get all the things that you wish you could get through your financial institution, but they just aren't available.
Yeah. It's interesting you mentioned that. I think back to a time, gosh, it would have been maybe 2011 or so. And I had somebody come to me and they said, hey, I've got this credit union that wants to hire me to put together this. I think it was like a list of benefits or kind of partnerships within the credit union. And so all their members can get access to that. That was so long ago. That's such a simplified version. You're doing the app version of that or much more than that, but that's what it reminds me of, is just the evolution from that point to being able to do fintech. Probably wasn't even a word back when I was talking to that guy. And now you're embedding fintech through an app. App as a service, I think you might call it. Is that a phrase you use?
Yeah, it's interesting. If you think about the name ASA, it's after Asa Whitney, the visionary proponent of the Transcontinental Railroad. And of course, Industrial Revolution, transformation. We're doing the same thing in banking. And we've built essentially a platform that can connect all of your financial apps, all of your accounts, your entire financial world seamlessly. And I don't know about you, but I've got probably, 12 different apps on my phone for all the different things I do. I still have no idea what happened last week. It's all fragmented. It's broken. People just aren't able to pay attention to it. And the bottom line is that if we have the technology today to give people a better life, and if we can help them better manage their money and automate it, do it for them, why aren't we doing that? And why haven't we been able to bridge that gap? And we're partnering with specifically credit unions for these first 1.5 million users, and we're becoming part of their app, providing the full functionality of the financial industry, but in a way where you don't have to share your name, your email, your credit card numbers, your personal data, usernames and passwords. We all have been to a website. You have to type your username and password into your bank account to connect it. And people are like, is this safe? Is this okay? And people do it anyways, despite the risks, because they want to have the convenience. So what we're eliminating is the risk that comes with that and allowing you to do it in a private, secure way, really at unlimited scale.
Yeah, that's huge. I think a lot of us have become complacent because we just are so used to putting so much information into everywhere that there's a lot of exposure, and we just I think we've just accepted it. It'll be nice, though, to get out of that and get away from that and into a place where we're actually secure with all the stuff that we think probably should be secure anyways, but we have just dealt with it for the convenience of it.
And I think also people are missing out on opportunities to improve their financial health and their wellness. And immediately prior to ASA, I owned a company called Bonsai, and it's the largest financial literacy company in the country. It's in 70% of schools in America. And we called it the Oregon Trail of Finance, where the kids would get a job and pay rent, their car would break down, it would take them down a different path. And
Somebody would die of dysentery, right?
Yeah. We had them just get like their account takeover or something instead. Is different milestones or different pitfalls. But anyways, it's one thing to teach kids and to provide classes even for adults. It's a whole other thing to actually do it for them and to look at your finance, have everything linked in a private, secure way where your data is not being mined and sold off. It's all private and secure. But we can go back and say, hey, wow, it looks like you've paid rent on time for 2 years and it's not reported on your credit report. If you reported that, we could boost your credit score and maybe get your interest rate down on your car loan and save you X amount of dollars. Wow. Yeah. Click here to get started. And that's what those types of things are what we're integrating: AI, machine learning, traditional finance, even some crypto DeFi platform pieces for the future of where we're headed, tokenization. So basically our four key areas of focus are identity. So KYC, login, identity, payments. So money movement, billing functionality. So think Apple Pay, and then data connections. So linking and connecting all your data, being able to do what's called a zero knowledge proof, where you can prove something is true without disclosing any personal data. So you could prove you're 18 completely anonymous. You could prove that you have the money to buy something and have it in escrow for real estate transaction or whatever. So there's endless utility here, but it's really creating that bridge to the internet. So we're connecting banking and technology and launching the industry forward.
I love that. I love that. And I'm so excited to hear about some of the transitional moments or pivotal steps that you've taken in the business. Before I do that, though, I'm really curious whenever I talk to CEOs, because the CEOs that I talk with, they're super busy. They're building cool things. They're working with great people. There's a lot of demands, and maybe there's some downtime. Maybe there's not downtime. There's some common threads in there. And one of the things I like to explore is what motivates you each day. You have a lot on your plate, I'm certain of it. What is it that you use for that motivation day to day?
I'm one of those just gritty people that if someone tells me I can't do something, there is nothing in the world that will come between me and accomplishing that thing. And I've had that trait since I was a young child, and it's carried through with me. So it's really a personal drive to transform the industry. And it's always everything that I've ever done has undertones of financial education and financial empowerment and helping people to be able to really live a better life. Because I, when I was growing up, had an older brother who was able to mentor and help me when I was young that made a difference in my trajectory early on. But a lot of people don't have that. They don't have parents that can even teach them much about finances because maybe they don't know all the ins and outs themselves. And so what ends up happening is people are making mistakes they don't even know that they're making that will set them back sometimes many years. And so if we have the technology, we have the know-how that we should be able to prevent those things from happening. And people should be able to have that virtual mentor, that guidance. And ultimately that is what ACE is becoming, is that platform that will know you using the AI, machine learning, and help you figure out the products, the tools, the solutions that are gonna help you succeed in life. And doing it all in a way where your data is not being shared or sold to anybody.
Yeah. But yeah, I actually was with a friend this morning. He said, hey, can I stop by? I want to go, let's just go for a jog. I want to chat. We were chatting about life, a good old friend. And he needed that mentor. You mentioned you had your brother there. He was telling me about an investment he made and the impact it's had on him and the time frame it was supposed to be and the time frame that it actually is and maybe might continue to be. Like, he needed that. Was it your brother that maybe gave you this interest or this focus on finance, or where did that come from?
That probably stemmed even younger, where just growing up on an apple orchard with very minimal income during basically a decade-long downturn in farming.
Yeah.
Just year in, year after struggle, year after year of struggle, and just having nothing to spend, not being able to buy clothes or get things or go to the store and do anything. And having a family of seven, and we're in a very small farmhouse under 1,000 square feet squeezed in there. And that situation changes the way you assess money and you value money. And so instead of looking at money as, oh, I can get that with this, it was, how can I use this to get a better future? And how can I change my trajectory? And so I think that financial focus came from a very early age. But yeah, my brother did help when I was going into I graduated from BYU here in Utah, and he helped me set up my first classes and set me up for a finance focus. So I ended up going to the Marriott School of Business and graduating in finance with an emphasis in real estate. And then based on some of the guidance he gave me early on, that led to real estate investing. And so I own a lot of multifamily housing on the side.
Okay. So interesting. So the financial, I don't want to use the word trauma, but the financial circumstances of your youth led to a financial focus. I don't know if it's the right term, but farmer's grit. You're like, tell me I can't do that. I can do that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And everybody gets picked on in middle school, and everybody, it's a hard time for everybody. But I happen to also be a bit overweight and had a bit extra struggle there in not having the drip, as the kids call it today, and not being able to be like the other kids that way led to some challenges that made me really look at my situation and say, how can I get to where I want to be? And what should I change? And ended up going from that to, we were ranked second in the state in wrestling my senior year. I started middle linebacker and tight end both ways my senior year. That all came from being a late bloomer and just working hard, spending a lot of time just dedicating myself, focusing on what my goals were.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's so interesting to me how those experiences, the positive and the negative as youth, really flow into what we do as adults, and that kind of focus and determination and grit that we either have or maybe don't have sometimes. But the CEOs we talk with, the ones that are willing to dive in, scale a company from zero to one and one and beyond, it's just a different level. So
it's the crazy amazing. People.
Yes.
that have a relentless yes. determination.
Yeah, it's a simple yes. That's exactly what it is. You like the chaos. I like the chaos. That's why we're willing to be a part of the chaos, right?
Absolutely.
Well, so I'm super curious then, as you think back on your career, maybe with ASA, you mentioned that you've had a couple pivotal moments along the way. I'm super interested to hear what those were, what was going on leading up to those moments, how that moment changed what you did, and in particular, the insight that you might take away from that moment or those moments. So where was the company headed as you were maybe approaching that first breakout moment?
Yeah. When thinking of things you can try and tackle, industries, looking at banking and how regulated it is and hard to get into, and then really just technology and the internet and trying to unlock and bridge the gap, you're swinging for a platform that's connecting some of the largest industries out there today. And so going after that back when we started ASA was highly ambitious and was definitely more than I realized I was biting off. And so it took those breakout moments along the way to stay motivated. One of the first ones, we filed a patent early on and ended up being issued. And it turned out we beat Apple by 3 months on that patent. And so it's not fully issued. So when you're innovating and trying to create a new space and change the industry, that those little moments, the idea, the vision was so big that we ended up getting pretty exciting chairman of our board. Austin Adams was the corporate CIO of JP Morgan Chase. So he worked directly with Jamie Dimon, oversaw the Bank One consolidation. He made a sizable investment in our company early on and then joined as our chairman of the board. So those moments, like that was one of the first ones where you're like, oh my gosh, I never imagined I'd work with someone like this and get this type of validation.
Yeah. How did that come about? Like, how did you make a connection with him? He just saw what you did, or did you meet him like at a conference, or reach out to him? How did that come about?
Yeah, it's breakout moment on top of breakout moment on top of breakout moment, and just perseverance. And I built contacts with my last company, Bonds, and won a bunch of awards, best of show at Finovate, New York City, and the Marriott Marquis Times Square. Won the Citibank Open Innovation Challenge, got to go ring the opening bell on the New York Stock Exchange. So you start to meet people. And then when I started ASA, the vision, it's critical infrastructure for banking. We're providing the future of digital banking. And so people see that and they say, this is the most important piece of one of the most important industries out there. And the ability to securely connect your financial world to everything, that's a massive platform. And then the things you can do with that data, imagine log in with Google or Facebook or Apple, but KYC verified through your bank that brings all your bank accounts, payments, data, everything with it, completely anonymous. This can change the world and how we view data, risk, and privacy, and the scalability, signing up for things many times faster. So that vision was exciting. We won a bunch of accelerators like Plug and Play, finalists in the New York City Innovation Lab, Boeing Employees Credit Union. They're the third largest credit union in the country. We won their accelerator and their CEO.
So you were extremely active then. You were out there doing the accelerators, doing these competitions, being part of the community, it sounds like.
Yeah, and it was a massive amount of work. We interviewed 150 CEOs of credit unions and banks before we started building anything. So then, and also the CEO of Boeing Employees Credit, he grew them from $10 billion to, I think, $37 billion in assets over a decade, was inducted into the Credit Union Hall of Fame. He invested and is on our board as well. But we got other great people like the head architect of Zelle, the CTO of SunGard, the guy that wrote NumPy and founded Anaconda, which is one of the first imports you do for all machine learning and AI, some of the top data scientists in the world. And that led to FIS. They move about $43 trillion a year in money movement. They're one of the larger banking core and digital platforms. We're a portfolio company of theirs. And so as we just kept getting breakout moment after breakout moment, it led us to really probably the biggest breakout moment.
And that's, yeah. So just to explore that just a little bit. So whether it's that moment with FIS or the moment, you said it was Austin, right? Was his name, the CIO. Did you approach them? Did they approach you? I mean, there's a lot going on. You're like in this sea of kind of success, it sounds. And was it easy to just pick these guys up because they just said, hey, this is the right thing, I'm going to do it? Or were there some, did you have to navigate it a little bit? Was it hard? How did that work out?
It was super easy. No, I'm just kidding. It was extremely hard.
We want to hear that it was easy, but we know that's not the truth, right?
Yeah, it was so hard. And it's one of those things where, you know, as you're attempting to do it, you're wondering, am I even worthy of attempting to do this? And so it's that hard of an accomplishment, but you have to reach out to those people. You have to ask, you have to fight for it. You have to show them why you're worthy. You have to fight for it. And as you do that and put the effort in and you tell the story, I think a lot of times they see your drive and determination and that nothing can stop you. Those are the people they want to bet on. And those are the people they want to do business with. And every investment is in every company or partnership or contract, they all end up taking longer than you'd like. And with that said, each of these different moments, the feedback we got along the way, the pivots, the challenges, those hard moments where you just don't know what the path forward is or even if there's a path forward, but you figure it out. There's always a way. And that leads to ultimately the opportunities. And I've heard a lot of people say entrepreneurship is surviving long enough to be successful, or
right.
Someone who's successful is someone a failure who tried one more time.
Yes.
And that is really the bottom line is, are you able to innovate, to pivot, to solve problems, and to keep trying? And if you can do that, anyone with that attitude is going to be able to build a company and succeed. It's really just a matter of pushing and pushing, because as you're doing that, you gain a reputation, you get brand awareness, people start to see what you're doing. And that led to an enterprise partnership with the fifth largest credit union core processing company in the country. So for those that don't know, a core processor exists because banks and credit unions don't have the resources to build their own digital banking and to store their own data, build their own tech. And so they use a tech company to do that called a core. And the cores are the gatekeepers to the banking industry. They have everything. They control the data. They control everything. An enterprise partnership with becoming a standard feature as part of the bank app. The partnership that we signed is the deepest integration that this core has ever done with any company. It's the biggest, it's the most impactful partnership they've ever done. And it's the longest term agreement. And so and with all that said, that moment changed our trajectory forever.
This is with FIS that you're explaining right now.
So this is actually, FIS is, I think, the second largest core. So this is the fifth largest core. So we ended up signing the first enterprise partnership with a company called ShareTech, and they're a core processor for 300 credit unions and 1.5 million users on the mobile app.
Awesome. Very. Yeah. Who was on your team helping you with this? Because this is, I suspect this is something that takes a team to make these accomplishments happen. What is your team like that's pushing and in the, what's it called? In the
trenches?
Trenches with you. Thank you, man. Words go so fast these days. Yeah, in the trenches with you.
My co-founder, Troy Moss, he is CTO, and I couldn't have built this company without him. And when I had left Bonsai, I was friends with some executives at Jack Henry. They're the third largest core, just to give you some perspective, another core processor. And Troy had just built their credit card platform. And for just to give you a little insight on Troy, he rolled out payments for McDonald's and Walmart. He built payments into the Xbox for Microsoft.
Just if a few heard small of First things, Data,
huh? Yeah, First Data payment gateway. I think at one point they were processing like 90% of credit card transactions. So that type of scale, he rolled out payments for Final Fantasies Online in Japan, their rollout. And for Banco Itaú in South America, their real-time payment network, he did that. So he's done some massive things, even integrated 2,000 vendors for the stealth B2 bomber.
Wow. What's allowed you to, you've got a lot of impressive interactions with people, connections with people. What is it that's allowed you to do that? Are you just a dynamic guy and people are drawn to you? Or is it the idea is so cool that I love the idea. What is it that, are you doing something really intentional to put yourself in situations to connect with these people?
I am very intentional. I am pushing myself to be in the places where I can meet those people. And very persistent. And I believe, as any crazy founder does, that I can do anything. And I believe that if somebody says it's not possible, I'm going to find a way. And so I think that's all important. But really what it comes down to is, are you doing something that is a good story? Are you doing something that people want to work on? Is this attractive? Is it exciting? Is it a good industry? And so you look at ASA, and ultimately we are the first ever embedded finance fintech platform with a hybrid traditional finance, AI, ML, and DeFi, bridging the gap between all of those. No one has ever built a platform like what we're doing. And that story is just, it's a frenzy. It's a retail frenzy. So that's where we started getting appetite just in the last month or so, or a couple months, from investors that take companies public and do, you know, listings on public markets. And so we just closed with an investor to get us kicked off and plan on a NASDAQ listing. So we're working towards the NASDAQ listing in 2026. And it's very ambitious, again, and it's very exciting. But people are going to want to own a piece of what we're building. They want to own the future of digital and what's happening in their bank and in their financial lives. And what we're doing really extends the digital presence of the bank beyond what you think of your bank app today. And all of a sudden, the bank can be a better solution than anybody else for all of these things that everybody needs. How you connect to websites, how you log in, how you sign up, how you pay, how you move data, how you prove you are who you are. All of those things, I can't really think of anyone that is doing a more regular verification on your identity than your bank or credit union, because they're monitoring your transactions for fraud, account takeover. They're looking at everything. They're KYC verifying you. You look at all the fraud on Facebook Marketplace. They don't KYC verify, which, for those that don't know, KYC is an acronym for Know Your Customer. It's a bank level verification where you have to be able to prove that you know the person is who they say they are. And many times that means you're showing a driver's license or a passport and you're signing physical paperwork even. So yeah. A lot of these banks have done that, and they have a 10 or a 20 year record of your identity. And so when you partner with that credential, that identity, and then you create a token that can be used on the internet as a utility to verify identity elsewhere, the credential becomes stronger and stronger. The verification just keeps on getting stronger. And so you're able to authenticate and authorize access and prove what should be shared and what should be allowed on different places. And then, of course, hide everything else. Why should some of these financial apps on the internet have your name and your social? And why should you put your money in their account? Do you really want to open a bank account with every financial app on the internet? I know I don't want to have 20 different cards for all these different things and 20 different tax documents. If I can layer it all on my top of wallet, whatever card I'm using, and make it work seamlessly, but I can also have that experience that's specially built just for real estate professionals that have multifamily housing, I'm going to use that all day long because I get the best of both worlds. I get to use where my money is locally with all my loans and the accounts that I'm managing, but I also get the newest, best tech. And that's never been possible before. You get what you get through your bank, and it's very limited what you go into your bank app for, your credit union app for, and then you have to go elsewhere to get the apps to do other things. So ACE is changing that world by allowing them to be bridged and connected seamlessly.
It's clear that there's a conviction there that you are making an impact, changing the world. That comes through very clearly. There's a passion there and a very clear determination that, hey, we're going to do this. And you're on that path. I was going to ask you what your next big milestone is. I think I know the answer now with this investor coming on board and NASDAQ listing coming up. What are the maybe one or two steps, the critical steps between now and there? And who would you lean on? Who would you bring into your network? This network that's already established, got a lot of good people in it. Is there anyone else you would bring in to help you get to the one or two steps to get between now and that NASDAQ listing?
Yeah, absolutely. We are working on some strategic partnerships and also investments. Most of the investors we have brought in, if not all, have had strategic value. We've gone very differently about our cap table and who we put on it. And so this most recent investor has actually taken hundreds of companies onto public markets, and he has a DTC issuer solutions business and is an expert in that. The biggest step that's the most work is going to be the audited financials and going through that process. And so that's step one. And right now we are meeting with that investors network and then also the technology network to find other good investors to help us on this trajectory. And then the other major partnership that we're working on that's top of mind is exploring the opportunity to be able to offer, you know, stock and crypto embedded inside of our platform as well.
Okay.
And so the ability to buy and sell stock and crypto is really a major feature on bringing DeFi to the space. And so it unlocks a lot of opportunity, but making sure we're doing it in a way that is different from others out there, not that Robinhood doesn't do a lot of good things, but we want to be able to point to what we're doing and saying, hey, this is better for the consumer than any other solution on the market. It's going to have better pricing. It's going to help you succeed faster. And I think that really aligns with the credit union mission, where they're not owned by a corporation. They're basically a co-op. It's owned by the members. They're not for profits, and the profits are shared back with the community or the members in the form of better rates or higher returns on savings. And so having that individual or member, as they call it, first ideology is very important to everything we're doing. and making sure we're empowering the individual to have their best life. And what's really incredible about that is you can do all of those things and still be wildly successful, because people are going to want that consolidation loan to save money here or there, or they're going to want the better rate on something. And being able to get those things through your trusted local bank or credit union is just amazing. I remember one time I got a snowmobile loan. I had never taken out a loan on anything, like an installment loan. And my credit score was like, if you took an installment loan, that would help. I'd done mortgages and real estate and stuff. And so I did an installment loan, and they gave me a preferential interest rate on the snowmobile. And I took the best rate possible. And it was some weird name out of some weird place. And to go in and pay the bill, I had to like manually log in and make the payment every month. And it was so frustrating. I just paid the loan off and I'm like, I'm done with this. So sometimes you can get a better experience seamlessly connected through your credit union, and it's going to be better for you than trying to hunt down someone that's going to cut the rate a quarter point across the country, wherever.
And what better place to do that for people than finances? I have been talking to my kids. I hear it all a lot. Everybody needs to learn finances better, personal finances, business finances. Like if we could improve that, like we could make strides in just the personal success of people that are avoiding, like maybe like my friend, right, that I mentioned earlier, avoiding some of these awesome opportunities that aren't really opportunities like they're described. I'd love to ask one last thing, and that is about the way that you gather and use insights. Is there maybe a tip or something you might share with other scaling CEOs about how you've learned to watch for insights that can move the needle for you, and how, what you do to leverage those insights into action?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. So I think that what the biggest differentiator for a CEO to be able to find success as quickly as possible, I think it's a hybrid, because you have to be confident, you have to be decisive, you have to be able to make good decisions, but at the same time, having the humility and the willingness to talk to everyone and to be a sponge and learn. And I think back to some of the biggest successes that I've had and the biggest risks that I've taken that have paid off. I didn't just assume that I am smart and I know the answer and that I can figure it out. I talk to everybody. Some people were annoyed with how much I talked to them, because this is somebody who most people wouldn't share this personal information about. When I was buying real estate, for example, I own over 100 doors now, and I was taking a lot of risks there. And I was asking everybody, what do you think about the market? What do you think about the risk? Okay, what do you think about me taking out a line of credit against my house and leveraging that to buy more investments? All of that data that came in helped me to formulate my decision. And my ultimate decision back, this is just under a decade ago, was that every loan that I could take out for at 3% interest on a 30-year fixed was an asset. And that though buying and holding, the rents would go up, the rates would go up, and I would benefit greatly from that. And that ended up being a multi-million dollar bet in my favor. And it was a big win that gave me the cash flow to be able to swing for the fences even further with what we're doing at ASA. And it's all about resources. It's all about setting yourself up for that success so that you can, if you're going in, that it's going to be a very long drive to build a company. The more resources you have to support you in getting there, the greater the chance of success. And so I just happened to be a founder that had unlimited runway and could go forever. And not many people are in that spot. And so when you have that, if you can get there, then your chances of success are extremely high, because you get a lot of pivots and you get a lot of time to figure it out. So I'd say be a sponge, be humble, take in everything, ask questions, don't assume that you're right.
Yeah. I think you said swing for the fences, right? Knowing which ballpark you're in. Sometimes you don't want to swing for the fences in the wrong ballpark, but if your resources are there, you can play in the big leagues. If your resources aren't there, swing for the fences, just maybe do it at the little league park first, right?
Yes. So there's a lot of opportunities. There's a lot of businesses, and understanding the time, the risk with what you're trying to accomplish is important. I agree.
Yeah. Well, this has been awesome. I really appreciate the conversation here. I'm going to ask one more question. This could be short, but is there anybody that you've either looked up to or used as a mentor that you want to give a shout out to as maybe their own breakout CEO or somebody who's helped you become the breakout CEO that you are?
Yeah, I mentioned earlier my older brother, and when I turned 18, he helped me set up my first credit card. He was an accounting major at the Marriott School and one of the top accounting schools in the country, and I didn't even know what a credit card was, and I thought it was crazy when he was telling me to do it. I said, okay, there's a $100 limit here. I'm going to spend on this and then pay it off. This is dumb. Like, why would I do that? And I listened to him, and I did it. And then I was able to buy my first piece of real estate when I was 22. And a lot of people have different experiences there. Knowing the impact that made for me and the difference having a good credit score and being able to fight through and make those investments and just drive forward, it changed the trajectory of my life to be able to do what I'm doing. So I think that's part of the vision behind ASA is financial empowerment and helping others to be able to have the same opportunity I had to be mentored, to find success. And if they don't have an older brother that'll do it for them, pretty soon they're going to have ASA Vault inside of their credit union or their bank app. And there's going to be tools that can help them do those same things seamlessly integrated. And they're going to find that success.
And ask around and be persistent and have that farmer's grit and just keep going until you find the right answers.
Always.
Awesome. Awesome. Hey, it's been such a pleasure chatting with you, being able to share a little bit of time with you and having you share some insights with me and with our audience. Thank you so much, Landon, for being on the show. It's been a real pleasure.
Jeff, it was great to be here. Thank you for having me.
For sure. And to our audience, thank you for joining us. Again, this is Jeff Holman with the Breakout CEO. Join us next time. We'll have another conversation full of insights just like today. Take care. Thank you. Thanks for listening to the Breakout CEO podcast. If today's conversation brought value or sparked ideas, I'd love for you to share this episode with a founder or leader in your network. If you're a scaling CEO with a powerful breakout story or an insight to share, make sure to apply to be a guest on our podcast at go.intellectualstrategies.com. Also, be sure to follow or subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. And if you enjoy the show, a rating or a review goes a long way. Our mission is to promote the stories of breakout CEOs in scaling SaaS, e-commerce, and tech companies to equip peer CEOs with valuable perspectives and confidence. Thanks again for joining us on this episode of the Breakout CEO. I'm Jeff Holman, and I'll see you next time.